traveling the world, searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
It was an outrageous idea.
Here they go!
For decades, horse racing had thrown parties in the spring and summer before slipping quietly off stage in the fall. Fans were left wanting. Storylines left unfinished. Breeder John Gaines proposed a season-ending extravaganza, a full autumn day of million-dollar races. His peers called him crazy. Pundits said it would never happen. Gaines persisted. It happened.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
The first Breeders' Cup World Championships took place in 1984, with more than 64,000 fans at Hollywood Park. The day was sensational, and the classic was...
And here's the wire!
Classic.
Wild again does it!
It was transformative, and the beginning of something remarkable and enduring. A rare new big event on a sports calendar full of old ones. This weekend at Santa Anita in Southern California, the Breeders' Cup World Championships is being run for the 40th time. It has grown to 14 races spread over 2 days, with purses totaling $31 million. It is an annual rite, and it has delivered since the early years, when Personal Ensign closed out a perfect career in the Kentucky mud.
Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish!
And a year later, when Sunday Silence beat Easy Goer one more time.
And Sunday Silence holds on!
The world in world championships is not misplaced. Horses from four continents have won Breeders' Cup races. And a dazzling French mare is the only horse to win three in a row.
Valentina, a true champion!
It has become a destination for the greats.
And it's all Curlin in the race of the year!
And a farewell for champions.
Zenyatta, one we'll never forget! A Triple Crown winner, a Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime!
A year ago at Keeneland, Cody's wish made us cry.
A wish has come true! That one's for you, Cody!
And Flightline made us gasp.
Secretariat Mike, Breeders' Cup Classic win!
Now the sport gathers again in the long shadows of a California fall for another Breeders' Cup. To race and to renew. To celebrate an inspiration that has become an institution.
As horse racing's greatest take the stage at the Breeders' Cup, we're working to provide an ecosystem of care to keep these athletes safe. With comprehensive veterinary examinations starting weeks before entry, up until they leave the starting gate. With extensive racing, surface testing, and measurement protocols. New national uniform regulation and rigorous enforcement under the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority. And with the addition of advanced technology and new diagnostic tools, we're taking great and positive strides. But we are committed to doing much more. So no matter who wears the crown, safety runs first at the Breeders' Cup. To learn more, visit breederscup.com/safety.
Here we go, boys. 500.
The 2-week Keeneland September sale is a little bit like the NFL draft combine.
Through the course of this sale, I will truly feel every high and low that I can.
You have to wait in line to buy a potentially $2 million horse. So.
Oh, hi, Zenyatta.
I always say she's like the Beyonce of the thoroughbred world.
Yeah, it's called find good horses. And don't spend millions of dollars.
When a horse wins the Breeders' Cup Classic, he puts his name on a list of all-time greats. It's that an owner and a trainer can look at that trophy and can say, I won one of the most prestigious races in the world. There's also value in the breeding shed, which can escalate dramatically once a horse wins a race like the Classic. It really gets the attention of breeders, not just in the United States, but around the world.
We're at the Keeneland September yearling sale. There's a lot of different consigners that will sell horses at these sales. You have the biggest consigners, Claiborne, Denali, Lane's End, TaylorMade. They catalog 4,000 yearlings every year. About 3,000 of them are sold. There's about 20,000 horses born a year. Only one is a Breeders' Cup Classic winner. People here are buying the dream. There's only one horse every year that can earn that $6 million purse, but more importantly, that creates the stud value that could be worth tens of millions of dollars. Nobody really knows what's the makeup of the next great stallion. So we're searching for it. It's like a needle in a haystack.
We're both a buyer and a seller, or the bloodstock agent. And so pretty much I'm a one-stop shop in terms of the work that we do at Bloom Racing. Morning. Good, yourself? You hear that saying, I gotta find the diamond in the rough, but a much better analogy, really, is trying to find that diamond in the diamond. Because if you think about it, these beautiful thoroughbreds are all diamonds. And so finding that diamond that fits my budget, that's the trick to all of this, and you're out there looking at thousands of horses doing it. Hey, Mark, how you doing? I'm a lone wolf. I've always worked that way. I kind of do my own thing. I have a crazy methodology that works for me. I start out with a really good, organized set of criteria, and I have a strategy in place. That's great. Thank you. You have to wait in line to buy a potentially $2 million horse. So it's kind of a good market to be in when people are waiting in line begging to pay a lot of money for what you have. So one of the coolest things that happens when you come to one of these sales, if you've been fortunate enough to be successful with one of the offspring from a consigner, like in other words, Midnight Bizou, our star of the barn, was bred and sold by Woodford, and front and center is my filly. It's a fun thing to walk up and see your silks and, more importantly, see the horse. It's a Cinderella story for Midnight Bizou. As a yearling, we get lucky. We buy her for $80,000. She's now currently undefeated on the season. It would be an incredible success story and perfect way to cap off an exceptional season for our filly by taking down the Breeders' Cup Distaff. So typically when I'm looking at a horse, I'll start from the bottom up and work my way there, start at the feet and just take a general look at the entire body of the horse. And then if I decide I like the horse, I start getting into more detail. But the one component that's probably the most important factor is a horse's desire, a horse's heart, a horse's personality, their presence. You watch for subtle nuances, for hints, and you hope you're right.
The two-week Keeneland September sale is a little bit like the NFL Draft Combine. There's multiple rounds in the NFL Draft, six, seven, eight rounds. In Keeneland, there's five, six, seven books. Book one of Keeneland September. These are the best bred, best looking, very much like the first round in the NFL Draft, the best athletes. So those athletes would generally cost the most to sign. Our athletes would cost the most to buy. Everybody's looking for an edge. Everybody's looking to try to measure something that we can't see. And everybody believes their team's the best. And unfortunately, this game is so difficult for a lot of different factors that you can't control.
I'm gonna come around and then I'll just come and I'll stop here. And then I'll say something like, welcome to Kentucky. Oh, hey there, welcome to Lexington. I'm gonna take you on a tour today of some, oh my God. Well, hey there. Carson Kressley here, and I just want to welcome you to Lexington, Kentucky. Today I'm going to take you on a trip to meet some Breeders' Cup Classic royalty. Follow me.
We're going to go kind of behind the scenes and see where some of these amazing racehorses live, where they grew up. It's like the E! True Hollywood story, but without the car crash. I like to think of myself as a horseman. I've been doing this since I was a child, literally. The type of horses that I have, which are American Saddlebred Show horses, which are actually really closely related to thoroughbreds. I love horse racing because it combines everything that I love. Horses, amazing, beautiful. Fashion, I mean hats and ties with jockeys on them. And then the third thing I love is bourbon. We are actually headed to Lane's End, which I've never really gone behind the scenes of a major thoroughbred farm, so it's pretty exciting stuff. So, this is a real treat, so thank you so much.
Not at all.
Maybe I should not walk on the grass. That's probably bad. It's probably fancy here. We'll just go. Now, who are we seeing today?
We're seeing Accelerate today.
Okay.
And Accelerate won the Breeders' Cup Classic.
And he won just last year, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Outside, they're coming to the wire, and Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
For him, when he won the Breeders' Cup Classic, that really set him apart from the other horses of his generation and stamped him as a great racehorse.
Right.
So the Breeders' Cup has a tremendous influence on breeding going forward. If he's successful, he could breed well into his 20s. So.
Okay. And now he just gets to live here in the lap of luxury at Lane's End.
Exactly. He had about 165 wives last year, which
okay.
which he enjoyed.
He gets around.
He does get around.
And they all come here.
They do. They all come here to him.
They come for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
They and then they have their adult time.
Yes, they don't even get a full day. They don't even.
That's ridiculous.
It's not fair, is it?
You'd think they'd at least have a drink or something.
Yeah, you'd think, but they're in and out pretty quickly. He'll have foals next year, and then in 2021, he'll actually have yearlings at the yearling sales, which we're going through at the moment.
And okay.
So it's very exciting to watch the progression of babies being born and then ultimately growing up to be yearlings, and then you have the yearling buyers coming in trying to find the next Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Right. So. I love it. I don't want to leave. This is like heaven on earth. My goodness.
Well, you're going to go see Zenyatta, so that's going to be even more fun.
Hello, hello, hello. There she is. Hi. Oh, hi, Zenyatta. Oh my God, it's like she knows me. Amazing. I brought her candy. Can she have candy?
Oh, absolutely. She loves peppermint.
She is gigantic.
She is. She's 17'2".
Hello, hello. Oh, yes. See, she's like an SUV. I mean, she is sturdy.
She's a Range Rover.
Solid. She is a Range Rover.
You're a good
Look
girl.
At you, Mama. How old is she now?
She is 15 this year. She
wow.
was born she looks, in 2004.
She looks great. And in horse years, like, it's usually like, I think like 4 years to every 1 year or something. She's like in her 40s. She's like a real housewife. Were you at the Breeders' Cup when she won?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, but you've seen the video.
Oh, absolutely. Still get goosebumps.
And she is just, you know, she was in the back of the pack.
This is unbelievable!
And then she's just like, this is not happening this way. And she rallies and she beat all the boys.
She did.
And it was epic and you slayed and you're amazing. Right. She's a superstar.
She is a superstar.
I always say she's like the Beyonce of the thoroughbred world.
That is a very good comparison.
Do they ever get ridden?
No.
No.
No, none of our broodmares are ridden.
It would be tempting, though, wouldn't it? Okay. Bye, Zenyatta. Okay. Stay in touch. Send me a message on Instagram. I follow you.
It's like an organizational philosophy that you guys...
Yeah, it's called Find Good Horses. And don't spend millions of dollars.
Right.
Just go inside and sit down. Our good luck spot.
What we do is horse syndicates. So rather than own 100% of something, you own 5%. You spread your risk, and with that, you have more chances for success. And that's really important. We sell a dream. We sell an experience.
Well, let's go win a grade one. Come on.
Come meet the jockey.
We've taken it to the everyman. We have so many different people in our partnerships from all walks of life. Lawyers, plumbers, doctors, tax accountants. When they come to the races, they have one common thing, and that's their horse that they own. One of the first horses we ever bought was a horse named Singletary, who ended up winning the 2004 Breeders' Cup Mile. Cut to video of him winning the mile, please.
Singletary wins it. A perfect ride there for Singletary.
There's been great horses purchased here for $15,000. If you just get lucky and find that one special horse, it can change your life.
I think she's kissing me. I think she likes my beard.
We have over 500 partners, clients, friends. What else do we do?
Can I talk now?
Yeah. I was just rolling. I was ranting.
You were good. It was very good.
Thank you.
When we meet people for the first time, they have no idea what to do or how to get in. So the barrier to entry is big. But companies like ours help bridge that. So you can come in and you can really just buy any type of a racehorse at any level and just dip your toe in to see what kind of experience that you like.
So you come in with great expectations. You do all your work. You budget $100,000. And then it sells for $275. So you know what that's called? Not being close.
So now we are on our way to Three Chimneys. Three Chimneys is the home of Gunrunner, and he won the Breeders' Cup. So he is a very famous horse as well. We're just hitting up all the popular stallions today. And they live like rock stars. I mean, they have a beautiful house that they live in. They get to run around all these gorgeous bluegrass fields, and then they have like 150 girlfriends. I mean, where do they get the energy? We are here. Okay, there's Gunrunner. Yeah, are you basically his primary caretaker?
No, I am the stallion manager.
Okay. Sounds like a good job. I'd like to be a stallion manager, Sandy.
It's been a great job, yes.
Yeah.
It's been for a long time.
Maybe we can share some tips later.
No, there we go.
And then, so when it's time for him to do his job, then he comes up, you take him right over here?
We take him right in there. The mares will be waiting for him in there when we have in the breeding shed.
It's just like that movie with Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds.
Well, almost.
This is a gorgeous breeding shed. I don't think I've been in a breeding shed before, but this is really nice. And it has spongy flooring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Safety first.
Yeah. I'm going to get this for my house. What is that?
It's basically a breast bar. When in the act of breeding,
right.
Sometimes the mare gets pushed forward
the
by the stallion.
Is here.
And this way she can hang her head up here and be
right.
comfortable while
right.
her chest is hitting against the breast bar there.
It's like
and this is
board.
A flat platform here. If
right.
the stallion and the mare are of a similar size,
mm-hmm.
there's a little bit of a depressed one there. So if the mare is bigger or taller than
right.
the stallion, you put her in a little bit of a lower spot. So the mechanics are a little
so
better.
So the stallion doesn't get a complex.
Yeah.
So there's about 170 little gun runners running around this year.
Yeah, they're all 6 or 8 months old.
When will they start racing? When they're two?
They'll start racing in 2021 as 2-year-olds in 2021.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, we just have to wait around.
Yeah.
We should probably have a martini or something till then. Lexington is a very charming city. There's a lot of amazing restaurants. When I'm in town for anything horse related, I always try to go to Dudley's. So we're going to Dudley's. Hello, hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm Carson.
Good to meet you, Mark.
Mark, nice to meet you. Thank you. The hot brown, obviously, is the quintessential Kentucky culinary delight.
It is.
So I thought maybe you could tell us what it is and show us how to make one. Where did the hot brown come from? And it's like a Lexington thing, right?
It's actually from Louisville, the Brown Hotel in Louisville. That's
okay. Yeah, I've only ever seen a hot brown in Kentucky, either in Lexington or Louisville. So
yeah.
I feel like we're making a real Kentucky treat that nobody else in the world gets to have.
Yeah, this is special.
Grilled country ham.
And turkey.
So now we're getting healthy with tomato slices.
Our vegetables. Put a little of the Mornay on top, and now we're going to toast it to really get this all golden
brown. So we're going to broil it all.
Yeah.
And then if the cheese wasn't enough, we're going to garnish with...
Just a little bacon.
Some bacon.
We'll just put a little salad on there just to make sure
it's important to get your greens.
We have our vegetables, and we got our salad.
Coming through. Hot brown. Anyone order the hot brown? My friend Zenyatta's on the wall. I know her. And there's bourbon. Delicious.
Come on, Mike, 210. 210, Roger, 225. At 220, 25, 35, at 35.
But this sale, you can buy a yearling from $1,500 to multi-million dollars. It's unknown what the sales topper is going to be this year, but you can figure somewhere between $2 and $4 million. Obviously, this week is high risk and high reward.
The one difference between us and a typical owner is we have a budget, and we want to present horses at a certain price point to our partners. But we're up against other owners that have a little bit more disposable income than us, don't look at it as a business model the way that we do.
That's my favorite thing when they say, what a bargain. Oh, really? This horse is actually more valuable than some countries. Should we get in?
Sold that big colt in the back for $4,100,000 on a beautiful colt, bounded by Lombro. Now, let's give a round of applause.
Who are we clapping for?
This is fun. This is fun. It's fun and exciting, and you kind of get into it. You don't know who's bidding. You have an idea. Here comes Sheik Mo. He probably got it. Sheik Mo, how are you? So, that's my buddy Sheik Mo. Probably bought that horse.
Yeah, I think he remembered you.
He did. He did look like he remembered me. Did you see him acknowledge me? He's like, hey, that's that guy who came up and introduced himself.
He's telling his bodyguards right now. He's telling him,
please get that guy away from me.
Here we go, boys. You get 500. Be the good buy. Be the good 130. Be the good 40. 200, 300. Down tire. 10, down
to get. Auctions are interesting in that it's certainly belly-to-belly commerce. We sell maybe 42 horses an hour.
Down to get him to get him four. Down five. 8,400. Down 5 million. I got a million to start.
You work for 2 years, and I've got 50 seconds to sell your product.
Three. But to get four. Down to get him five. At a million five.
I am the ringman here at Keeneland. When they lead those horses into us, they have so much on their mind, and they're looking for a friend. So. That happens to be me.
4,000,006, down 7. Down to get him to get him 7. Well, it's not me bidding against you. No, it's just 4,000,008. At 7,8. Down to get him 4,000,008. Down to get him. I promise you that. At 4,000,007. 4,000,008. Down to get him to get 8.
The trade secret that I don't like to tell, but I will, is we wear the black gloves. And so many times you can just kind of let him smell that glove and he'll change his mind. He'll kind of follow you around.
8,000,002 is right up here. 8,000,003 back there. What do you say? 8,000,003. Are they thinking about it?
Some say yes, that it's kind of that horse whisperer thing. But, you know, it's just from a lifelong love of doing this.
Right here. 8,200,000. Thank you, folks. Hold your applause just real quick. Hold your applause real quick. Let's get her outside first.
Through the course of this sale, I will truly feel every high and low that I can and everything in between. There's a lot of excitement about who's going to buy my horse.
How are you?
Good, good. You have a nice night.
Thank you very much.
There was Bob Baffert, Sheikh Mohammed, the ruler of Dubai, having last glimpses at the horses that are just about to sail, and you don't know if they're on your horse or off your horse.
Yeah, Mike was cold. He's a nice colt. He's a nice colt.
We're trying to help you, but I don't think we can help enough.
Hopefully somebody will keep on bidding, right?
At the Keeneland sale, we'll sell 20 yearlings in total, and we'd be a small to medium-sized outfit selling our own horses.
Oh, there we are. Guess I'll go stay with my horse.
$299 reserve, anything above that, sold.
Hip number 405, consigned by Ashview Farm. Brian and Gray Lister, age of the bay colt by Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist.
Oh my, who could 500? 500 in the ring, 500 in the ring, 3 in the ring.
Honestly, I feel pretty worn down and beat up.
At 2, now 25, put him in 25, where 25, dude. 25.
Your body's tired from being out here all day. Your mind is exhausted. Your emotions are shot.
All right, we got two bidders now. Keep on hitting it here, buddy. Keep on going.
And then in the next minute and a half, you kind of figure out how your year is going to go.
425, 50, 50, 54, 50,
75.
It looks like a runner. 75, 5, 4, 5, 25. Who was that? 5, 25.
There we go.
25, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50,
50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, Ryan did a nice job selling there. Crushed it this summer.
Ugh.
Take a deep breath now.
That was a great sale.
Well, we just sold our Nyquist colt for $550,000 to a client and friend, Pete Bradley.
That was just a big poker game there, trying to, I don't have much to spend. Da, da, da.
I didn't have much to spend, but I spent more than I was supposed to.
Thanks. Congrats and thank you.
What a horse that guy.
Yeah.
And what a star up top.
We're all really excited. And now we're going to do this for 12 or 13 more days.
Yeah. It's a competitive market here. You know you're bidding against some very powerful people. People are paying $8 million for a yearling. Those same buyers are looking at a lot of the horses I'm looking at.
It's kind of worth that. 130.
At the end of the day, I got my butt kicked all day long. It's easy to get dejected, especially in the moment. You feel like I'm never going to be able to buy the horse that I want, but you got to stay disciplined and stay the course. One way or another, it always works out.
Next on All In, the Road to the Classic.
5 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup Classic.
The best racing in the United States is here.
The atmosphere, the horses.
We have six horses in the Awesome again. There's one heavy favorite, McKenzie, trained by Bob Baffert.
Forgot to tell you, she bites people in the face.
It would be incredible to finish off as undefeated, and I try not to think about that right now.
There they go.
a two-year-old. Looks like a three. Looks like we're going to the
gate. To the gate. Oh my gosh, Joaquin is the luckiest job today. And, holy cannoli.
We had Joaquin at the starting gate yesterday. I don't know if we got anyone down there today, but we still have a
camera. Do I have time?
Dedicated. Will you go?
I will
go
right now. It's actually very close to us on the front side over here.
Yeah, if you're going by the breakfast chalet, get me a Bloody Mary, too. All right, about to move into line, some of these horses for Aiden's Army. Will they actually open up the front of the starting stall and go out, or do you think they're just going to move in and then back out?
I bet you they move in and back out, but I'll tell you, I don't remember Aiden sending his whole crew to the starting gate at once in any of the years prior.
No.
I do a lot of starting gate stuff on this show. I don't ever remember the Aiden crew coming here.
No, because they have an American gate back at Coolmore in Ireland, and they'll...
Maybe they're just walking around and not going to go in the gate. Yeah. No, they're just moving aside.
Yeah, and they'll probably put them in there with the assistant starter. I touched on that earlier in the week. They'll put an assistant starter in with the horse and then one on the offside, too, because that scares the horses more than anything. Not the handler holding the horse. It's the one in the stall next door.
Is the gate in the spot where it will be for the classic?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's a little bit further back, but it's in that chute.
Yep.
And, I mean, look, they're taking their time to circle back there. There's not a ton of room. Just getting at least City of Troy acclimated to walking back there with a big field, right?
Yep.
This could all be just a schooling session for City of Troy. Right? Because they start the classic here. You're very close to the fence over there. A lot of traffic. The train goes by over there every 20 minutes or so.
Yep.
This literally could just be a schooling session for that horse.
So where is Aiden when all this is going on? Have these instructions just basically been given before all these horses go out on the track and then he stays back?
Yeah, there was an assistant trainer, a foreman or whatever. And remember on the cell phone the other morning?
Sometimes he gets on the pony, though.
He does.
I've seen him on the pony, so I didn't even look at the pony, but you could gander and see if he's on. If not, he got in a car and he's up there standing.
Yeah. Need a camera on the gate maybe next year.
We put that on our list.
Joaquin was in the gate yesterday.
Yeah.
I volunteer as tribute to just be the gate person next year.
All right, we'll continue to monitor Aiden O'Brien.
Hi, everyone. Matthew DeSantis here with Naira Betts, here with another Breeders' Cup Classic Contender Spotlight video, and this one is on everybody's favorite dirt marathoner, and that is next. Can he do what we've all been wanting to see him do, which is cut back a little bit in distance and go against the best horses in the world going at a mile and a quarter? Now, before we get into this very special spotlight video, I want to remind you to press that like button and subscribe to the Naira Betts YouTube channel today. Subscribing is completely free of cost, just notifies you when new videos are dropping on the channel. We have these sort of contender spotlight videos. We also have a lot of trainer by trainer analysis videos that are up here going through their top contenders. I have a video up going through the post-draw reactions, some initial thoughts on winners, losers, morning line, decisions to be made in terms of where you might be able to find value. Later in the week, we're going to have a long shot video with myself and Kaylee Shapiro. I'm also going to do a capping the card for Juvenile Friday and another one for Classic Saturday. You definitely don't want to miss out. This is your one-stop shop for everything Breeders' Cup. Now, also want to remind you, play on the Naira Betts app. Download today. If you use the promo code CUP25, you get a $200 match bonus and a free $25 bet. So best way to play the Breeders' Cup is right here on Naira Betts. All right, folks. Well, listen, let's talk about next. What an exciting day it was when I found out he was actually going to go to the Breeders' Cup. And for those of you who may just watch the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, and maybe you watch a couple races at Saratoga and you tune in for the Breeders' Cup, maybe next is not a horse that's on your radar. Maybe you don't know much about this horse. He is a really exciting horse for those of us who follow racing all the time, because he has been the dominant dirt marathon horse for the last 2 years, but he only runs at a mile and a half or at least a mile and three-eighths. Sometimes he runs even longer than that, but at least a mile and three-eighths to a mile and a half is kind of where he normally is. And when I say dominant, he has not lost in virtually 2 years. He's won his last seven races, and he has won them by massive margins. I believe his shortest victory was by about 3.5 lengths, but by and large, he's winning by double-digit lengths every single time out without ever even being asked. He has an incredibly high cruising speed. He is a horse that has just become so dominant in this division, and to the point where there really are not any other races for him to run in. There used to be a Breeders' Cup undercard race, a Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance race, That has no longer appears on the Breeders' Cup undercard. As a result, the connections really don't have anywhere else to point him in terms of other races to go a mile and a half. So as a result, they made the decision, we're going to come to the Breeders' Cup. There was some discussion, do we go to the turf? Do we go to the Classic? The turf being a mile and a half would be a better distance. Cutting back to a mile and a quarter, obviously you're contending with faster paces than what he is accustomed to dealing with in these longer marathon races. But like I said, he is a dominant horse. And let's dive into next, talk a little bit more about him. What a cool horse. Trainer Dan Cowan, jockey Luan Machado, sired by Not This Time. And he has been, like I said, just a dominant horse going that mile and three-eighths, mile and a half, mile and five-eighths distance over the last 2 to 2.5 years. And has won the Brooklyn Grade Two twice, 2 years in a row, has won the Greenwood Cup twice, both, you know, the last 2 years, has won that Thoroughbred Aftercare, which used to be on the undercard of the Breeders' Cup Saturday. Also has won the Birdstone Stakes twice. Again, there is no close competition for him in this division that he has been running in. So there really was nothing else to do. Now, to be fair to the owners and the connections, if I had a horse that could just keep collecting checks and win and winning checks, I'd probably keep running him at that distance. I get it. As a fan, it's going to be a lot of fun to see whether or not he can take his running style, which is more of a tracking running style, to the Breeders' Cup, going a mile and a quarter. These fractions are going to be faster than anything he's seen recently. And I think that's a real thing to keep in mind, that he is a horse that likes to track the pace. He usually sits second in his early races, early in the race, but he's a horse that gets away with, like I said, slightly slower fractions because these horses are running longer. So therefore, they're not going 23 and change to the quarter or 46 and change to the half. They're going more modest, you know, 24-48, 25-50. Sometimes you're going to see different pace scenarios depending on sometimes the distance or just the dynamics of the race. But he's able to sit right up on the pace at a slower pace. What's going to happen when he might be a little further back? Now, I think what's particularly interesting about next is the fact that he is much like Thorpedo Anna in this regard. The point that I made about Thorpedo Anna going into the Travers was that we had not really ever seen Brian Hernandez Jr. ask her for everything that she had. She had been winning so easily against her fellow three-year-olds, fillies, that Hernandez usually might have gone to the crop once in the stretch, but really rarely ever went back to her in terms of using the crop. Next is an even more dramatic example of that. When he is winning by 10, 15, 20, 25 lengths, and that's not hyperbole, when he's winning by those distances, Machado's barely moving a muscle on this horse. So I don't know what Next is capable of at his best. You know, I don't know what he's capable of when he's being asked to go even faster and to do even more. I know what he's capable of doing without even being prompted, and that's pretty damn impressive. Now let's dive into some of the form that we've seen from him. Interestingly enough, this was a horse that was previously trained by Wesley Ward way back in the day, actually ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile against Essential Quality. Remember that name? Yeah. So this Next has been knocking around for a long time, was in Wesley Ward's barn. And as you would expect, Wesley had him on the turf and heck, even sprinting sometimes. Turns out he had the best dirt marathoner we've ever seen, or at least have we seen in a very long time. Next goes to Cowan's, and they kind of stumble upon something back in 2022, in the fall of that year, when the horse runs in an off-turf race at Delaware Park, going a mile and a half. And they run the horse in that race. The horse wins by 18-plus lengths, gets a 100 buyer speed figure. That horse has not been on the turf since. But this is a horse that was running in $50,000 claimers at one point at Churchill Downs back in May 2022. But since going to the dirt and since stretching out, he has been dominant. His only loss is back coming off the bench in 2023. And Cowan's himself admitted he probably screwed that one up. He said he didn't have the horse back and didn't necessarily have the horse all the way ready for that particular race. That loss he felt was on him more than anything else than on the horse. Otherwise, the horse has been untouchable. You see the margin of victory in these last several races, winning the Greenwood Cup by 10, winning the Birdstone by 22, winning the Brooklyn by 9, winning the Murphy Marathon by 11, winning the Greenwood Cup last year by 25, winning the Birdstone last year by 11. I mean, again, nobody has even been close to him. And he's been running against some nice horses. And there's a race in particular I want to look at because I think it's relevant to what we're going to be seeing in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, he draws the outside post. He's 8-1 in the morning line. He draws the far outside 14 post. Listen, if any horse is going to overcome having to travel a little bit further, it is Next. And this, I would say, might be an ideal post position for him. Machado can keep him out in the clear, which is what he likes to do. And he has the entire front stretch to work his way over into the first turn. Because remember, you have that hole, you have the chute, and then you have the whole front stretch to slowly work your way over. And I think that's relevant. And the best example of this, honestly, is the Brooklyn. If you look at that race three back, I think that's the most informative race to look at for two reasons. One, it's the shortest distance. He's going 1 3/8 in that race. That's only a furlong longer than what we're going to be doing on Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So it's very comparable distance. It also, if I'm not mistaken, I actually looked this up, so I do know I'm not mistaken. The fractions in that Greenwood Cup, 49 and change, 114, 137, were almost identical to the fractions that were run the previous year in the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 1 1/4. And this also has a very similar configuration. It's not a three-turn race. It's a two-turn race in terms of the Brooklyn. Has that starting coming out of the chute. You have the whole home stretch, and he drew a little further outside. Now, it was a shorter field, only a seven-horse field, but he drew the number six post, and he was running against arguably the best competition we saw, running against a multiple stakes winner like Croupy, running against a horse like Masked Parade, who's won some big races, running against a horse like Drake's Passage that's had some nice runs. So he ran against some good horses that day, certainly Croupy probably being the best of the group. But I just think it's an incredibly informative race to go back to and watch because it really is going to, I think, be the closest thing to replicate to what you're going to see at Del Mar on Saturday. So we're going to pick it up at the start. He's in the number six post, seven horse field, big gray horse you see right there. And again, coming out of a chute. And now you got the whole home, you got the whole front stretch to work your way over. You see Machado really taking a hold of him, making sure that he's kind of sitting in that second position, not asking him for him at all, really restraining him. If anything, Drake's Passage goes out up front, but he's got the whole front stretch to work his way over. And I think obviously here he's able to work over into the two path, but even if he's able to work over into the three path, if he's sitting outside of a horse like Fierceness, if he's sitting outside of a horse like Forever Young or Dermisotagake, you know, who are further inside, no problem at all. City of Troy, same sort of thing. So he's got that whole stretch to work his way over. If he's hung three or four wide, not the end of the world. Actually, maybe even preferable, but he likes going a little bit longer in that regard. Now the finish, here's the thing that's so important, I think, about the finish in this race. And here he is looming up. He takes over from Drake's Passage at this point. And this is what I mean about you don't know what he is at his best. Machado kind of pushes down a little bit on his neck, but otherwise Machado's barely asking him for anything. The horse just has an incredible cruising speed, and he's just pulling away from horses. I mean, Krippy's trying to make up a little bit of ground, but it's just not doing anything. You just see what a dominant horse he is at this division. And Machado's just completely buttoned up at this point and just has this horse wrapped up at the wire. Ran a 109 buyer speed figure in this race. If you look at the buyer speed figures, if you look at other speed figures, he definitely matches up. And again, he's never been asked for his best. So I don't know what his best looks like necessarily. None of us do. There is no doubt that he is maybe an oddity for some people. For some, he's an automatic toss. I understand that. For some, he is a horse that they are going to be using in a really serious way and leveraging in a pretty serious way. 8-1, I'm comfortable with that price on him. I kind of hope he floats up maybe a little bit. I'd love to see him get to double-digit odds. I think he's really interesting at 10-1, 12-1. I think that's where I would feel most comfortable using him as just a straight-up win bet potentially. I think he's got a better chance than maybe some people think he does in this race. There's not necessarily an incredible amount of speed. Insofar as Arthur's Ride's your only horse that needs to go to the front, there's a lot of horses that like to track the pace. We'll have to see what happens on the inside with horses like Forever Young, Highland Falls, City of Troy, Dermasotagake, Mixto. You know, those horses might have a little bit of early speed as well and are going to try to go. We know Fierceness has good early speed too, but I think a horse like Next, listen, he's got a great cruising speed. I know the mile and a quarter is not a problem, and it's just a matter of whether or not Luan Machado asks him for too much early in the race. If he's right up on the pace and they're going 23 and change, 46 and change, that might be too much for him to sustain that run then that we see, obviously, we just saw in the Brooklyn and we've seen in so many of those other dirt marathon races. If, however, they go, I don't know, 23 and 4, 24 and 1, 47 and something, you know, and he's sitting maybe, you know, third, fourth in that area, and he's sitting outside of the pace, I think he's got a real shot because, again, he can do the distance. And if Arthur's Ride is able to kind of control things a little bit up front and Machado's able to keep this horse out in the clear, I just think he's so proven at getting better as he goes longer that last furlong, you know, he's going to keep finding his best stride. We don't know what his best is yet. I think he's just such a fascinating horse in this race. And I'll be honest, I really like him. I'd rather have him in post 14 than in post 1, I'll tell you that. I'd rather have him in 14 than even post like 5. I think that the outside post is advantageous to Next. Machado can work his way over during that front stretch. And if he's wide, he's wide. It's not the end of the world. The key is to keep him in the clear. He has shown the ability to rate a little bit. He does get somewhat headstrong. So that is something to keep in mind. He probably won't like to be too far back. And that's what I mean about if he gets sucked up into a faster pace, then that is a problem. But if you're projecting the pace to be modest or at least a normal pace, then I think you have to give Next a really big shot in this particular race. Now, from a betting standpoint, like I said, he's a little bit of an X factor. Do you use him in your horizontals? It depends how deep you're going, I think, and depends who else you're using to some extent. If you like a horse like Fierceness, if you like a horse like City of Troy, you know, including a horse like Next, you know, I don't know how wide you want to spread in that particular race while using a couple of potential favorites. But if you're looking to beat Fierceness in City of Troy, then I think including a horse like Next, including a horse like Highland Falls, including a horse like Forever Young, who's probably going to be your third choice, I think that makes a little bit of sense from a ticket structure standpoint. And I just think he's worth consideration in this race. He's been too good for too long and too consistent not to give this horse a shot in this spot. Like I said, I understand some people think he's an automatic toss. I get it. But I think that he's got a shot the way that this race shapes up. And if there's ever a year that a horse like this could do it, it feels like this year. In much the same way, if there's ever a year where a horse like City of Troy coming over and trying dirt for the first time could win, could be this year. I feel like, you know, there's just such a lack of top-end talent among the older male horse population in the United States that I feel like there's a shot for these international three-year-olds like City of Troy and Forever Young, a three-year-old like Fierceness, a dirt marathoner like Next. I think it's a wide-open race, and I wouldn't be surprised if Next racks up another victory. Listen, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about, too, after the race. Glad you tuned into this episode. Love talking about Next. I've had the pleasure of seeing him multiple times. He's a cool horse. One thing to know, he bites his tongue. He loves to bite his tongue. He loves to chew on his tongue. So if you see a little bit of blood coming from his mouth before a race, don't worry. It's what he does. So he's a little bit of a quirky horse in that regard. But all thoroughbreds are a little bit quirky. So something to keep in mind. Listen, thanks so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Make sure to press that like and subscribe button today on Naira Bets YouTube. My name is Matthew DeSantis, wishing you a great and prosperous day at the races and reminding you, friends, it's now post time. Welcome to the Naira Bets Top 5 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Contenders. Coming in at number 5 is Ferocious, trained by Gustavo Delgado, and the same connections that brought you 2023 Kentucky Derby winner Mage. The son of Flatter sold for $1.3 million as a two-year-old and was a highly anticipated runner in debut at Saratoga. He dazzled in early August, dominating a maiden race and pulling away with ease before stepping up to face Grade 1 competition in the hopeful and the final weekend of racing at Saratoga. He ultimately finished second behind Chancellor McPatrick that day, but lost a shoe in the process. Last time out in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, he finished second again, but yet again faced some early obstacles as he was steadied and checked going into the first turn and had a difficult trip inside horses while chasing lone speed. He's a talented runner, and if he can get a consistent rider, he has the potential to take a big step forward in the biggest race of his career at Del Mar.
Ferocious hugging the rail and trying to chase him down. Angles out now with good strides in second. And these two will come to the eighth pole together. And Ferocious is gathering serious momentum as Preeter has surfaced from well out of it. Ferocious takes off through the stretch. What an effort. It was expected, and he sure delivered. Ferocious jogs.
Coming in at number four on the list is Gaming. The two-year-old son of Game Winner, trained by Bob Baffert, served notice last time out that he is a horse to be taken seriously in the juvenile ranks. He is a perfect two-for-two, and after breaking his maiden at Del Mar, he stepped up and stretched out to 7 furlongs and beat the competition to win the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity. Finishing second, third, and fourth that day were McKenzie Street, Citizen Bull, and Getaway Car. Those three horses came back to run first, second, and third in the American Pharoah next time out. He's beaten top competition and proven to be perhaps the best of the two-year-old Bob Baffert horses, and that is always something you have to take seriously going into the juvenile at Del Mar.
Gaming has taken the lead. On the outside, Citizen Bull is in with a shot as well, and McKenzie Street running a huge one. They are coming for home, and Gaming is the one to catch. He's finding more on the lead. Gaming and Flavian Pratt in front. McKenzie Street chasing Gamely, but Gaming has won the Del Mar Futurity in style.
Coming in at number three on the list is Chancellor McPatrick. Part of a strong first crop from Sire McKenzie, this Chad Brown runner is a perfect 3-for-3 and is the only juvenile in the country that is already a two-time Grade 1 winner. After barely making it up in time to break his maiden in debut at Saratoga, he stepped up to beat the competition in the hopeful before absolutely cruising to victory last time out in the Champagne Stakes. What makes Chancellor McPatrick so interesting is his running style. He is a late-running horse that does not possess good early speed and often hits his best stride late in the race as he starts picking off foes coming down the stretch. This is a notable running style because at Del Mar, which is the site of the 2024 Breeders' Cup, the track does not play very well to horses coming from off the pace when going two turns on the dirt. The other unique feature of Chancellor McPatrick is that he has yet to run a two-turn race, as the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, going a mile and a 16th, will be his first opportunity to do so. He is a thrilling horse to watch, though, and the talent is undeniable.
And the leader is Tip Top Thomas, but has to deal with Chancellor McPatrick, who's rolling down the center of the racetrack. Tip Top Thomas to the inside. Chancellor McPatrick with every shot to run this rival down. And now Chancellor McPatrick is in front. A 16th left to go. Was last, now first. And Chancellor McPatrick wins the Champagne impressively and punches his ticket to the Breeders' Cup.
Coming in at number two on the list of our Breeders' Cup juvenile contenders is Jonathan's Way. The Ohio-bred, sired by Vekoma and trained by Phil Bauer, has only raced twice, but is a perfect 2-for-2. He broke his maiden in debut at Saratoga and did so impressively. After having some trouble out of the starting gate, he went by the field around the turn and then pulled away from the competition coming down the stretch. Next time out, he stepped up to win the Grade 3 Iroquois Stakes at Churchill Downs. What made that victory so impressive was that he won in a completely different fashion. This time he managed to break well from the gate and get out to the lead and win that race in gate-to-wire fashion. Showing this type of versatility as a young horse, being able to win on the lead as well as coming from off the pace, bodes well for his chances in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile because he can be flexible depending on how things shake out in the early going of the race.
with McHale to catch. In the center, Jonathan's Way. And in between those two, moments notice, Jonathan's Way in a serious effort here. Made a dramatic move and opens up with authority. Jonathan's Way, the son of Vekoma. Sparkling debut. Wins by four. Moments notice, second. Social Hour, third. Perfect Force was fourth.
And coming in at number one on our list is East Avenue. The Brendan Walsh trainee checks all the boxes going into the big race. From a pedigree standpoint, the Godolphin homebred is sired by Medaglia d'Oro, and his dam, Dance Music, is the half to 2023 Horse of the Year, Cody's Wish. On the track, he's a perfect two for two. After blitzing the competition at Ellis Park back in August, he stepped up last time out to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity. What's notable about that effort was that he was able to go in gate-to-wire fashion while running a mile and a 16th and two turns at Keeneland. It's important to note that when Walsh was interviewed after the race, he said the horse does not need the lead in order to be successful and had been training behind other horses and appears to appreciate kickback. This bodes well, as there might be a lot of front-end speed in this year's edition of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and jockey Tyler Gaffleone having the flexibility to take East Avenue into a tracking position could be critical. This one looks the part, has the pedigree and the connections to match.
It is East Avenue working into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Maintains a five-length lead back to Ferocious in second. Dapper Moon is third. East Avenue will prove much the best in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Tyler Gaffleone checks over his shoulder. A widening margin at the wire for East Avenue.
It's important to have a connection with the horse because you want to step on the track and try to read his mind, try to communicate as much as you can with the horse.
Here, to ride the horse around the track, you need to make a connection with your horse and get a rapport with them because there's a lot going on and you need to get a relationship with them.
And you really get to feel how powerful those animals are. And the thrill of it is just, love.
It's the only reason I do it. I mean, there are plenty of jobs where you can make more money or have a better schedule or whatever, but it's the only thing I want to do.
I've been doing this for like 26 years. I broke my leg. And somebody tell me, don't quit. These horses owe you something. And so I've always been around horses since that.
Hasta tenía 18 años, empecé yo a gruñar y a jockear. Me gustan mucho los caballos y me encanta. Cada vez que veo una carrera o que los caballos saliendo del gate, siempre le pido a papi Dios que salgan todos los caballos bien y los jockeys también.
I've been working for Steve for 21 years. I want to try to do my best. It doesn't matter what kind of horse you put me on.
It's just your skill that you have and quick thinking of and pay attention to what he's doing, because you can know when a horse is going to do something by their hairs. Yeah, so you pay attention.
Una rutina más que todo y ser uno responsable. Yo vengo a las 4 de la mañana y empiezo a trabajar, a limpiar todo lo que es los establos. Ya para cuando ellos van a la pista, pues ya bueno, ya todo limpio ya para empezar a trabajar con ellos.
Getting on a horse that's going into a big race like that, the Breeders' Cup, I mean, it's so exciting. Like, there's times I don't think about it. I almost want to cry about it, you know, because it's tears of joy.
Arthur just like a baby. He likes to play. He likes to eat his carrots. If I call him, he looks up at me. And he's special.
Fitness is muy cariñoso, inteligente. Y él sabe, cuando él va ya para la pista, él se pone tranquilo. Él sabe lo que va a hacer en la pista.
I love racing and I love everything about what we do, but I just really love horses. It's fun just to be in the barn and just to see them grow and learn and be successful.
I just feel incredibly lucky to be in the industry. It's a labor of love. I think that's what it's all about. It's being involved with these horses.
This job is no days off. And if you love it, you're gonna do it. I wanna do this as long as I can. I just love racing. I love the horses. I don't know what to do, anything else.
We love our horses and we take care of our horses. They are hearts.